A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Knapsack for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Meaning a guest, ranking Star Wars. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Returning to the show today is Billy Biz himself, Billy Patterson. Welcome back, my friend.
I'm sorry I'm coming with such a downer topic today.
It's great.
It's just a 45-minute long funeral.
Yeah. So, hey, full disclosure, we're banking some episodes. So we recorded this one a little while back, not too long ago, but it was before Billy and I had seen Rise of Skywalker. We're going back in a time machine here. Mandalorian had ended. What happened to that little... I don't want to spoil it for my UK fans. But we needed to bank some episodes, and I wanted to play this one, and this is kind of an evergreen topic. So if anything in this that's about to be referenced seems weird because we found something out more in Rise of Skywalker, that's why. I don't think that'll be the case, but actually, yeah, there's some possibilities. That's where we're at. So anyways, today's topic, as proposed by Billy, is Star Wars Ranked Gone Too Soon. These are the Star Wars characters that came and went pretty fast, and there's no hard set fast rules for this. It started from a suggestion from Billy and a list of a name. I won't take it away in case you use it here. I don't have your list in front of me right now. But then as I was making my list and as Billy was making his list organically, just kind of went different spots. And it's kind of an emotional gone too soon. This is just characters that we liked and maybe wanted to spend more time with, And that's the genesis of the conversation today. So Billy, this was your idea.
Yeah.
What happened?
I was having a dark day.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is... these are some of my list. It's half and half. It's characters that I just like, man, I liked you. I wanted just a little more FaceTime with you. And then some of them are literal, like, oh, you exited the story too soon, and I need to know a little bit more about you. You quite literally left too soon.
Yeah.
Some of them emotional. It's like, no, you left at the right storytelling moment, but come back. Just
come back
for the feels.
Come back. That's great. That's a great topic. This is what we do here in Star Wars Ranked. There's a lot of things in Star Wars to rank. Sad departures of characters just might be it. So we're going to start the list. We go 5 to 1, work our way up. And Billy, we're going to start with your number 5.
I guess this should just be a blanket statement. There are going to be inevitably spoilers to different pieces of Star Wars media going into
this. That's a great idea. You know what? Again, you're a great producer. Light spoilers for all of Star Wars, including maybe a book or two, including definitely a recent video game, Jedi Fallen Order. So we'll just tee that up right now. Light spoilers, but I figure maybe by this time, I'm going to double check. I'm going to say right now, let me double check yours. I do have yours now. No Mandalorian stuff on here.
No Mandalorian stuff.
This is definitely playing long before they get it in international markets.
Yes.
So that one you're safe on. Everything else, light spoiler warning.
So my number 5 comes from Galaxy's Edge, Black Spire, the novel.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
So spoilers for that. This is Cardinal, a.k.a. Archex.
Yeah. And
so I'm actually not a big reader. I have a really hard time reading words and then coming up with the pictures in my head. And it just becomes gobbledygook.
I get you.
But for some reason, this novel, I was on a trip to Paris and I was like, all right, well, I like Disneyland, so I'll give this one a shot.
Right.
And it hooked me.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even read Phasma yet. I didn't even realize this was a sequel
to another
book. It just, they dropped me in the middle and I got it.
Yeah.
And this character of Archex, I immediately gravitated towards because I tend to be a sucker for movies or stories or whatever about people who are just trying to find their place in a world that they don't understand.
Right.
And so we come upon Archex, who used to be this, you know, really badass in the First Order. Mm-hmm. And now he's kind of, you know, he's been crippled. He's in pain. He's like Dr. House almost, you know, and he doesn't believe in the ideals of the First Order anymore, but he's not. That doesn't mean he's automatically resistant.
Right, right.
And I loved that choice to be like, hey, just because I'm not with them doesn't mean I'm with you.
Right.
I'm just with me. So I loved that this character the whole time is just, you know, we have Vi Marati and she's doing all these cool spy things and she's, you know, she's our protagonist. And there's this guy who's like, man, I was the man, and now I'm just sitting here. Yeah. There are chapters of this book where he's just like, I'm sitting here and I have nothing to do and it's killing me.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was some of the most compelling
stuff.
Who am I?
What am I as this person?
If I'm not First Order, then what am I? Mm. And ultimately, he makes a very heroic sacrifice at the end of the book, and I was so devastated because I just had fallen in love with this character. I was like, I cannot wait for the next book in the series.
Yeah.
And it's Vi and Archex and their adventures. And gone. He's just gone. He goes out in a blaze of glory, but he's gone. And I just loved this character. I loved every choice that
Delilah S. Dawson. Yeah.
I love every choice she made. He even like to the point where I'm saying like he doesn't know. He thinks maybe he has romantic feelings. And Vi's like, I'm not feeling it. And I don't think he was feeling it either. I really think he was just like, I don't hate you.
Yeah.
I feel affection for you, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
like everything about this character was great. So seeing him go, just it sucked. It had to happen.
It had to. Yeah, but, yeah. No, I love it. Have you gone back and read Phasma yet?
I did go back and read Phasma.
Okay.
Yeah, and it definitely even strengthens the dichotomy of the character between the two is just so great. That it just it hurt the wound. It twisted the knife.
Yeah, Phasma's on my reread list because I ended up really enjoying it. Halfway through the book, wasn't sure what I was reading in a sense of like this is really different Star Wars to me. And then I came around on it, and definitely happy to see Delilah Dawson was able to build on these characters and bring them back. So I want to go restudy some of the cardinal stuff specifically. It's really fascinating. And I'm right there with you. Me and Scrimshaw, we love our old grumpies in Star Wars. And Archex is definitely that. But you're absolutely right. Because Finn goes through that, hey, you know, you're not First Order, but you're not quite Resistance yet journey. But this is someone who I think had more of a choice in leaving, if that makes sense, where Finn it was he didn't want to be part of First Order, didn't like what he was doing, but it was fear. He was fearful of Ren and Phasma and himself. Cardinal, you know, some things happen. He's rescued, right? Or, you know, he's beaten to the brink of death, basically.
Right.
And that's so, in a way, it's almost like he doesn't have choice as well, I guess you could say. But he's not there yet, and then I still it's similar as I ramble through this, sorry, but like similar to me a little bit of Luke's journey in Last Jedi, where Luke knew what he needed to do. Wasn't there yet. He was trying to discover himself again, and he ends up doing something that he needed to do his way.
Yeah.
And Archex does that.
I just think, you know, especially as someone who does have a hard time reading, I've been telling you, I've been reading Master and Apprentice for 5 years now.
Yeah.
Because it just takes me a while. But yeah. I read this book in about a week or less when I was in Paris.
It's a great read. Yeah.
And I have to say, when he shows up, in his red gear again, it's one of the best Star Wars reveals, and it's not even filmed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and you feel it, and you feel it. And Vi's so great in the story. There's a lot from a book that's basically an ad for a theme park.
Like, quite literally.
Quite literally. I say it's one of the best bits of Star Wars writing because of that.
Yeah.
That imagine if you're Delilah S. Dawson, and they're like, hey, we're going to let you, you know, we want you, not let you. We want you to write another Star Wars novel, bring back some of your characters. Great, what is it? Oh, Galaxy's Edge. You're going to need to sell it. That could have been so bad. And the story of V and all the stuff and the villagers, everything's great. But Archex is a weird glue to the story that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, same.
Great.
I love that character, cool. That book. Everything.
Well, maybe, you know, there's a chance for more. Maybe not going forward, obviously. But I don't know how he got into, you know, I do believe he was a Jakku orphan, right? Archex. Yeah. So there could be some room for him there.
That's a great one.
Number five, that's great. My number five, all right, it's not as deep as Archex here. This is just a guy I just really love, and it's Zev Seneca, Rogue Two. Repeat, I found him. Repeat, I found him. I love Zev because it's just, I love Snowspeeders. I love Hoth, and he's so warm. He got that smile, and when he finds Han and Luke, as a kid, I just connected to the guy. Like, this is the rebellion. We're helping each other, man. I'm finding people. There, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up the search. I found them. Repeat, I found them. And then he dies.
He's so close, too.
Yeah, he's so close.
Luke literally says, this is it.
And to see it, and it was one of the ones as a kid, you know, you lose some folks in Return of the Jedi and New Hope, but I don't know, for this one, I've always just loved Rogue Two going down, and a lot of this list could just be Rebel pilots that didn't make it.
I mean, it was hard for me. I had to pair out some Rebel pilots because it's like, yeah, that's
yeah. And the conversation is going to keep going as it should.
Yeah.
But I've always loved it. And then at some point, I don't know when I learned that was his name, you know, Zev Seneca, and it just it made it even more cool for me. Zev's gone, man.
You know what that moment is great, found them? It's because, especially like when you take into the full canon of Star Wars and everything that we know, all their adventures and stuff, you really, if you're a rebel soldier, you just got to you got to celebrate the small wins.
Yes.
And for them have just been, they are literally beaten into the ends of the earth in the cold, like
yeah.
you know, ice cube.
So true.
Where it's just like, man, we have another like potential casualty of another major person. It's
two.
Like,
yeah. We can't lose these guys.
We can't lose. Come on. And then it's like, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
I love too. It's like, not like we got him. It's, I found them.
Nah, it's so great. It's good. And you know, and Harrison Ford's reading of the, you know, of what.
Nice of you to drop in.
Love that moment there. So give me more Zev. And I do believe, I should have just looked at Wikipedia's other appearances. There's other places in New Canon. I think he might have already appeared. I have still yet to read the first Battlefront novel, Twilight Company one by Alexander Freed. He may be in that too. So if you're listening and going, hey, there's more Zev, I'm aware I'll find it. But just that's a memory that goes to my youth, man, that grew up when we didn't have all Legends, even wasn't what it was
right.
in the 80s. And just like, what a poor guy. Like, he's smiling one minute.
So jubilant.
Dead the next. It's the cost of the rebellion. So that's my number five, Rogue Two, Zev Sinesco. It means we're up to your number four.
Yeah, I'm flipping the script a little bit on the fly.
Okay.
I'm changing the order because, again, looking, a lot of pilots. But I have another pilot.
Yeah.
Who was at the Battle of Hoth.
There we go.
That I think is, it's very similar. I'm talking about Dak.
Oh, Dak.
And the reason this one hurts so bad is because of that. How you feeling, sir? Oh, I feel like I could take them all on myself. It's like sometimes you forget in Star Wars that they are in a war and that, you know, people are going to die, young men, young women.
Yeah.
Who
young Duros,
right,
young Celestians.
They're going to die. And just the unbridled enthusiasm to just be yanked away so fast. Like, he had to die. He had to die because it shows that.
Did he? Did poor Dak have to die? Yes, he did.
I think dramatically it's like, did he have to die like within 5 seconds of flying out there? Like, could you have had him do one cool thing?
One cool thing.
Just one thing. He's like, all right, steady, Dak. No.
Oh, Luke, we got a malfunction and fire.
You know, when I was a kid, the whole time I thought, I was like, how? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could concentrate if I knew I was driving around in something with a dead body behind me. Like, that would just throw me
off. I've thought about that.
Yeah.
No, that's a great thought. I've had that too, of like, Luke just kind of has that look like, oh. All right, we got to keep going. I mean, you got to.
I would, pull over.
Yeah, pull over. Pull over my Camry. Yeah. And maybe Luke's thinking, maybe he's not dead. Maybe, I don't know. But I've had that thought.
Sleeping on the job.
Yeah.
I could take over the whole empire myself after a siesta. but poor Dak, he's the little soldier that you just want to see. He's like in the Matrix. He's like Mouse. He's just like the little guy that you're just like, you can fight the,
no,
you're a casualty of war. Dak. And he dies in a pretty gnarly way.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
He does. He does.
You're flying backwards.
He can't see. And then for me as a kid, it was the thought of if maybe he's alive and Luke's trying to save him. And he gets squished.
Yeah.
Like now you're definitely, it's like some kind of Bugs Bunny cartoon. It's just like yoink and yoink.
It's like the babysitter from Jurassic World who gets the worst Jurassic Park death. And she's maybe one of the nicest people in it.
Just vicious.
Yeah. So poor Dak. You know what? I didn't even think about it. It's like, it is almost comical dead Dak really is.
Oh, he dead. Dak is great. Also, I love the character Dak. I wrote about Dak in Why We Love Star Wars, and something happened with my spell check, and his name got misspelled in several places, and I was upset with the copy editing process because I felt it was disrespected. I think it's like Dax. Like the computer thought I was writing Dax Shepard.
Oh,
and
no,
it got through, and the copy editors at the publisher didn't really know Star Wars. So I remember reading the book, getting the book in my hands, like oh no, Dax's name's misspelled. So I love this character, and he definitely deserves the respect. So, that Battle of Hoth took out some heroes. So now we are up to. That is your number four. You moved that around, which means we're up to my number four. And we do this from time to time. We slide in maybe one or two. We'll cheat a little bit. My number four is actually two characters. And I'm going to Solo. And I am going to Val and Rio. So I love that movie. And without a doubt, the death of Val, more than Rio. Rio's death, sad, didn't inspire a lot of problems. Val's death, I know a lot of people are unhappy with it, unhappy to see such a talented performer go so quick, a woman of color character go so quick and serve the bigger needs of the story, no doubt. And this isn't about that conversation. I just feel we want to acknowledge that that's part of the conversation about the character. But I'm just going in story to the characters of Val and Rio, who I think I love hearing John Kasdan and Lawrence Kasdan describe the train sequence about Han Solo being shown really right in front of his face the cost of the life he wants now. That he romanticizes it a little bit. He wants to be the smuggler, the scoundrel, the bad guy. And forget that in his heart he's struggling to, you know, to live up to his own expectations when really his heart should take him the other way as Han battles his whole life. But that's what they wanted the sequence to show.
Yeah.
Like, you want this life, you think it's great, cool, you're going to be a pilot, you can do this all just to get back to Kira, whatever. People die. So I understand. I kind of support the choice. If it could have come a little bit later, that's fine too. But the characters of Val and Rio are great. And yeah. I know there's the one-shot comic that was out. That wasn't my favorite. It was Beckett and his crew. I don't want to do the cliche now. Not that it's bad ideas, but just it's Disney Plus. Give Beckett and his crew a series. But if something like that were to happen, or a novel about it, and the character Val and Beckett, their relationship, the him wanting to play the Valacord and her how that connects to her history and her family, and then Rio, how he comes along. I actually like Favreau's VO as Rio. It stands out a little bit sometimes. I understand I've heard some complaints of just like, you know, it doesn't sometimes maybe feels out of tone, but I like it. Wookie and the Ardidian roasts and all his, you know, does she got sharp teeth? I just really, really have an affinity for Rio and the lesson he teaches Han in that brief moment of, you know, don't die alone, kid. And how I was saying stuff that I didn't believe because I just wanted to make myself feel better is basically what Rio's doing. And then Val, who is just a great character of action. To lose her that fast, yeah, I just want more with these characters. I hope in some form we'll get them. And, you know, that's a testament to how good they were.
I'm living up to my podcast name. I'm going to give you a hot take.
Hot take, Billy Biz.
I think Rio is my favorite character from Solo, and I think that his death is actually one of the most affecting deaths in all of Star Wars.
There you go. This is why you're on the show, Billy Biz.
I'm
not disagreeing with this hot take.
In Star Wars, and in like a lot of these broad action movies, you know, you get shot, you fall over, you're dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Qui-Gon does his little train the boy. With Rio, they wrote it so beautifully and realistically. He gets shot, he's hurt,
yeah,
and he tries to play it off, and then it's like, no, I'm okay. I'm kind of tired. It's okay. Let me just close my eyes for 2 seconds. Like, it felt real, and they treated that death real.
Yeah, yeah.
That it just felt chilling when Han looks over and he's just dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this big grandiose moment. I think the fact that they were very subtle about it actually like I felt it a lot. And I loved, because like, look, you have, you know, Beckett and Val, they're very tough, and you know, Beckett softens a little bit as the movie goes, but I love the contrast of Rio's just this.
Yeah.
He's just a happy guy, and I love that he's kind of goofy. And again, like, I think pair that personality with the real quote unquote realism of his death, the way that they did it, it was borderline like haunting.
To me, what you're describing is similar to K2SO in Rogue One, where I thought his death was like the first of like, it's pretty powerful. It's choice over programming, but also it's like, oh, they're doing this.
Yeah.
And it really worked for me. It's really sad. I'm behind you on that. I really do like the character Rio, and And Val with Andy Newton comes in, and I know everyone, she's such a great performer, so I know why you want to see more.
She's so great.
So great. And but to hear her describe, if there's a roundtable interview, it might be on the solo Blu-ray disc, I don't know. Look for it. There's a roundtable interview with them all. I think Ron Howard's conducting the interview. And it's, you know, it's an official interview. They don't get too deep. She gets pretty deep. Describes the character. Describes the hairstyle, the look, the feel of the character, and says, that was my mother. And they show a picture of her mother back in the, I think, 70s there, an activist and all this kind of stuff. And Tandy Newton saying, like, that's who I was playing. That's who the character was. And so to see that character, what it meant to her and what she got to put on screen in the short time available, it made the character pretty powerful for me, too. Again, I agree with the loss of the character coming too soon, which is why she's on this list.
Yeah.
And if you could, again, it was Disney Plus, of course, nowadays we're going to be like, you know, we used to joke, is there going to be a Gonk Droid? But now you're looking at the real possibilities.
But
and
if
you're
you
like,
did like a Crimson Dawn show.
Which is what a lot of people want.
Right. Yeah. Fold all this stuff in. I could see it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And look, and I think if you, you know, the Make Solo 2 movement with the folks at the Resistance broadcast where that began, everything, I'm behind it. But yeah, if you were to do a little bit of a prequel. You know, you don't need necessarily Solo or Lando or anything of those hot button characters that people have other hot takes on their performances. If you were to just bring in Beckett's crew and getting to work with Paul Bettany's Dryden Voss, like that would really work. Kira as well. Kira Moll definitely would steal that. But the idea, the possibility of these characters coming way back in some way, shape or form, especially a book, especially a juicy little book. I know, and I know too, that doesn't necessarily how this always works, doesn't necessarily work with the books. It's all feeds back into the next project coming out or the next, you know, theme park and all that kind of stuff. But I would love them to get to a point. They did a little bit, but it was more around the 20th anniversary of Phantom Menace, Master and Apprentice, Queen Shadow. I just would love them to take the reins off a little bit and just be like, hey, we don't need to tie this to anything. Let's just have a novel about Beckett and his crew and get these characters more. So that's my number four, Val and Rio, which means we're up to your number three.
Going back to pilots, man. Those pilots will get you.
So sad, pilot.
This was from The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Paige Tico. Okay. This is Rose's older sister.
So more of a bombardier.
A bomb.
Let's not, someone's going to tweet us.
Bomb. I hesitated for a minute to put this on
actually,
my list.
Actually, sorry. Did I say bombardier? Gunner. We're going to be in trouble.
Oh, no.
She was a gunner.
I think it said it on the action figure, Gunner Page, right?
The bombardier's the guy that dies, who has a name, and I missed in a showdown, and I lost over it, so I don't even remember his name out of pain.
Well, we should just end this. You don't deserve to talk Star
Wars
anymore.
Anyway, Paige Tico, the gunner on the Cobalt Hammer.
I hesitated putting this on here, because this was when I was like, you know what? She exits the story at the right time.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
For the narrative. Mm. But what Rian Johnson was able to do in terms of crafting the story of this one character in the span of maybe 2 minutes, 90 seconds.
All told, yeah.
Coupled with an amazing performance. Again, I think Star Wars and look, just a lot of acting in general.
Yeah.
When you play it real. And you play it nuanced and you play it small and you're not trying to be as big as the movie you're in, that's when it works.
Yeah.
And just her closing her eyes and holding the necklace as she's like, this is it. This is my last my last thing. That was such a great moment, and it instantly made me so sad that this character was going to be gone for the rest of this movie. And I know there's a novel that kind of
Jason Fry put one out. Yeah. You get a little more information. It's like, is it Paige's Diaries? I think it's Paige's Diaries, not Rose's. Yeah. You get a lot and it's great.
Yeah. I love Paige, and I think Rose, I really like Rose as a character. I love kind of the pathos of like this death ultimately kind of shapes, you know, her journey moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I really loved Paige for what a hero. I love
absolutely.
That
and Vietnamese actress Veronica Ngo plays her now. And it's funny. I used to have an employee that worked for me. His name was Jonathan Ngo, and he said that's how you pronounce it. When I was doing the audio book, book. I wrote about Paige. There was some debate on how to properly say that. I say NGO based on personal experience. That might be wrong. Apologize. But she's great. And you're right. All told. Maybe 90 seconds of screen time for the character. The battle sequence is long. I love what you say about it and what Ryan was able to do with it. The slow motion sequence, the beautiful shot in this war, this crazy violent sequence, World War II inspired. And then when she passes out and then comes back too, and then you see the X-Wing flying below her and everything, and it's a heroic moment. And then to use that, to give you this heroic moment, which fuels Rose's story, affects Finn's story, who's at that point a hero, but playing hero a little bit more than an actual hero. He had some heroic moments in Force Awakens, with no doubt. And to use that, but also to fuel it into what you're trying to get across with Poe Dameron, which is we're, in a way, used to Paige Tico's story in Star Wars. So that sequence, you're like, man, what a hero. She took down the Star Destroyer. And then you're like, yeah, good job, Poe. And Poe and us are slapped in the face with the idea of we didn't necessarily need to lose her.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people we lost. And yes, the Star Destroyer might have taken us all out, the Fulminatrix, but to show it, it's the face of sacrifice. That made it even more powerful to me.
I'm still mad at Poe.
You should be.
We're just barely on speaking terms, yeah. But I'm very, very upset with Poe that he took Paige away from
it. And I know what you mean. It's kind of perfect in the movie in a way. It needs to happen. And I remember the figure was released. They put the figure out. It's 2017. And I don't know, a lot of us, especially here at Force Center, we just all had that feeling. Oh, I don't think she's going to be long for the world. Based a lot around that medallion, you know, you saw, I think they released a photo of Rose with a medallion, and that medallion means a lot to her. Mm. Her sister has had one. You're like, uh-oh. And our good friend Joe Starr, who doesn't, he's a big Star Wars fan, loves The Last Jedi, but didn't follow this as closely as us. He's got other important things to do, like Emmy-nominated Honest Trailer clips. He tweeted out, man, I'm so excited. I cannot wait for Resistance Bomber or Resistance Gunner Paige Tico. And I just remember like, you might not want to get attached, Joe. But we didn't know. But we didn't know.
Right.
But also to go back to that, and then we could do an hour on Paige Tico. Going into the movie thinking, she's probably going to die. But then to have it in this way, you couldn't have, like, what a beautiful sequence.
Yeah, just like I said, like, it was, to my mind, like, the first time that, like, Star Wars, look, we just talked about Dak and Rogue Two, just like, whoop, they're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was like, we're going to stop everything that's happening, and you're going to feel this one, you know?
That's great. I'm glad you just switched on the fly. You're a damn good producer, Billy. You switched on the fly here. This ranked us higher because it is the better version of Dak.
Right.
It is the same lesson. But that's what I think also what Rian Johnson was playing upon. Now, Hoth is different. It's an escape sequence. Well, take it back. We have two escape sequences. I know that. But, you know, it plays a little differently. There was no one pulled Luke aside and said, you did what? You went at the walkers?
Right.
What did you do that for? Which, you know, I think they were ordered. It's a different circumstance. So that's what I mean. This is a different – it plays on that. Ryan was looking back at those sequences and go, what if we saw Dak's face more?
Yeah.
What if you saw him and connected to him and he did something like this? What if he took down the AT-AT and saved Luke in that moment? You know, it's just a beautiful sequence. And there is some supplemental stuff out there. In the Rose Age of comic, I think there's some flashbacks, I think, to that. So there's some Paige Tico out there, but there's always room for more. Great choice, Billy. You're number three. My number three, all right, we're going to say it again, spoilers. In fact, I'm spoiling my guest here because he's not had a chance to play Jedi Fallen Order. So by the time this episode's aired, the game has been out a bit, but I'm going to give you the chance to skip ahead a little bit here. And Billy has agreed to be spoiled.
Yeah, I'm okay with spoilers, okay. Just because I'm so bad at video games. Who knows if I'll even get to this.
If you get to it. So this is because if you've been following me, especially if you're a supporter of me on my personal Patreon page or the Force Center Patreon page, we have Discords connected to both of those Patreon pages, private Discords, and I'm in there a lot. I had a journey with Fallen Order. It's not It's not my favorite game, and not as much as other people, but I really love the story, and I love a lot of things. It was more of a gameplay issue. However, and Joseph and I did do a in-depth look in the Fallen Order story, and I'm sure you can go back and refer to that too. But I'm listing here, sorry, my number three is Second Sister. Trillia is her name. So Second Sister is the Inquisitor. Was featured, popped up in other comics and stuff when they knew she was going to factor into the game. She is revealed very early on in the game, takes her mask off, and she's revealed to be the Padawan of Seer, who is the former Jedi helping our hero Cal Kestis through the game. And there's an interesting subplot with that. So I was a little bored with the story early on until that point. And, you know, I'm a pretty celebratory Star Wars person, but I just wasn't feeling it. I'm like, I get it. There's some good stuff. The game looks beautiful. And I like the Inquisitors. I'm an Inquisitor fan. I at first, when the Grand Inquisitor popped up in Rebels, I was like, I don't know what I feel about this. I've grown to really like it. I've grown to love the program that the Emperor put into place and Vader takes over. So I was like, all right, cool, Second Sister. She looks good. Like, character looks sleek, evil. I can get behind the design. And when she takes a mask off and reveals herself to be kind of this troubled, emotionally tormented character that has ties to our hero's new mentor, and something went wrong, not unlike, Obi-Wan and Vader in a smaller sense. The game goes on. She pursues Cal, and eventually reveals a lot more. One of those kind of like point of view stories, obviously, of oh, what did she tell you? Because here's what happened. I'm bad because of her. And I just was pulled into that story. And then she does die and dies at the hands of someone in a cape we've seen before. But at the last moment has, I won't even say redemption, but has... It's a heartbreaking kind of moment because she's chosen to stick with this path. I think along the way, you could argue in anyone's life, you could make choices to get out of the path that you're in, even if you were put into it against your will a little bit or the circumstances made it. So she could have found a way out of the Inquisitor program and out of the Empire, out of the dark side if she wanted, perhaps, maybe. But at the end, she realizes or reveals, I think, maybe, not only does she feel bad about it, or she said, what is her exact line is, avenge us. And it's powerful because she is who she was always at the heart. And it's a powerful emotional blow. One of my favorite parts of the story. And I hope in a way, I don't know if we will or we can. I think she's a character that deserves a little bit more. And again, like you just said, when it happened, I'm like, well, of course she's going to die. It fits. It fits into this game. It adds an emotional punch to the game. It's like wrestling. She's got to put over the story here a little bit. She had to take the loss. But I want more. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by this character who is a sleek, and I'll say it, sleek kind of sexy character in Star Wars, troubled goth girl with a red lightsaber, All right, great. She's so much more than that. And I want to know more of the story. And a lot of times we can go back and revisit these with a comic or a book. And I just, in putting together this list, I didn't want to be too cute. So I thought, is this one too cute? Am I trying to slip in a new song while ranking old classic songs, the old high fidelity thing? And I just like, no, that moment affected me in the game, and it affected me because I was like, wait, what did she say? Wait, she feels bad. She's dead. And I was like, that's kind of the other side of this list. We got our Zevs, we got our pilots that are going, but we got someone who had a lot more to offer to the galaxy. She just couldn't see it herself. Yeah. And so she's gone. So anyways, that's my choice. Second Sister Trillia. I know you haven't played the game, so you might have some thoughts. Might not have as many thoughts as others, but it made my list.
I spoiled myself. This is a disclaimer or a warning for everyone. If you tend to put your gifts on an Amazon wish list, I added this and a lot of other things. And then I went the other day to add something else, and half my list was just gone. It wasn't there anymore. And I was like, what the hell? And I looked and I had it filtered to unpurchased things were showing up. Oh. So everything that was missing, someone graciously has bought me for Christmas, this game being one of them. So I'm looking forward to it.
You're going to find it. We'll check back in when you play it. So that's my choice there. So That's my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
Yeah, this is one where I actually feel like gone too soon, because I don't know if I agree with the leaving the story at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Captain Phasma.
Gotcha.
I love Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. I love Last Jedi. I just feel like Phasma's been done dirty twice.
Sure. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. I think when Force Awakens came out, Phasma was such a huge part of the marketing. And mm-hmm. boy, oh boy, that slow motion shot of her walking mm-hmm. in that first trailer or second trailer, whatever trailer it was.
Right, yeah.
I was like,
walking through the hallways and stuff. Wow. Yeah.
And then finding out, it's like, I don't even know if this is canon. I just remember someone being like, that's like her armor's made from like the Emperor's, one of his ships.
No, it's canon.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about, talking about at the time.
At the time.
Sorry, did I just actually you?
It's okay. It's your show. You can actually me. But I remember like going into it, I was like, wow, here's this person who's got like, she must be like super special. And, you know, she the first movie was like, okay. And then she makes a great, like in Last Jedi, I was like, yeah, she's back. All right, let's do this. And she has, to the credit, a great fight with Finn. And I think there might be like a deleted or extended version of it.
Yes, ending. Yeah,
that gives a little more. But even that, it was like, I don't know, it almost felt comical this time. It was like, she's just going to keep coming back. Like that Austin Powers character, the Will Ferrell character.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, why did you, I need more. And I know Phasma, the novel just, it's almost adds insult to injury. Cause it's like, oh, like this is a really cool, I wasn't
wrong.
There is a real badass person in there, but for whatever reason,
does some great stuff of really turns against anyone in her own brother, like does everything to survive, which, you know, again, they're writing back to match the movies a little bit. And some of the truth in Force Awakens, like you're the one to pull the shield down.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah. I don't know. It's it's kind of too late at this point. It's like, I don't want them to resurrect the character, because then it's full on Austin Powers.
Then
it's just comical, and I don't want that. Mm-hmm. But I do. I know I don't watch Resistance, so I don't know how big of a factor.
Not a lot. And she's Gwendolyn Christie did voice her in the first season, which probably was a half a day's worth of work. And so any appearances the second season has been another voice.
I guess I just don't understand the reluctance to really feature this character. I mean, even the in Force Awakens, you know, that I don't know his actual call sign, but the one that everyone was calling T-R-A-R.
Oh, the traitor character. Yeah, he does have a call sign, but I don't really.
Why would that not be Phasma, you know?
That was a lot of people put that out there. Yeah.
So I look, again, love these movies, but that is a character I was so intrigued by and just massively let down by.
It's fair, because you're definitely not the only one. And I, as much as I love the sequel trilogy and those movies, and love Gwendolyn Christie, Brianna Tarth is one of the greatest characters of all time, book or show. I've thought about this. I've thought about this a lot, of like, when did this happen? And everything you're talking about, we talk a lot here at Force Center, speculate responsibly, keep your expectations in check. But this is an example of where sometimes it's you can't help but be hurt by it.
Right.
What we know, so follow me here. This is a great discussion point. We know potentially the character was gender swapped, right? That after the initial photo came out or whatever was going on, at some point they realized, hey, maybe having another female character wouldn't be a bad idea in Force Awakens. Let's get Gwendolyn Christie, first female villain on Star Wars big screen stuff. Let's go with this. So we're all excited. And then the design. And that's classic Star Wars. Boba Fett, Jango Fett, anyone you want to throw out there. That looks cool. They're gone, right? Fair enough. So Phasma falls into that. And then you learn some of the Palpatine ship. More than Last Jedi, Force Awakens underserves her a lot. Like,
yes, agreed.
And I'm like, did they just... This character was going to be minor, and they did this big switch to a very popular actor, and that's why part of the reason we're sad. Yeah, it is. But then I go to Last Jedi, this movie that I love so much, and I'm wondering if I'm trying to put myself in Ryan's head, and I don't have any specific interviews to go to. If they're out there and you link to us, that'd be great. But in the writing process, Phasma's such an afterthought in Force Awakens. I wonder if at any point you're just like, wow, she's not really factoring into my brain in telling this story.
Right.
And Finn's journey goes the other way because I thought, going to my expectations, I've heard the Phasma should have been in that traitor spot. And I can understand it. I could live without that necessarily. But setting her and Finn as rivals works because that's definitely what happens. I thought going to Last Jedi, she was going to be pursuing him around the galaxy. So if she shows up at Canto Bite and she's the local police force is like, there's the guy, and she's taking, I'll take it from here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something like that. Maybe a little more meaty. Because of what happened in Force Awakens, I'm just wondering if that's Ryan's like, I don't really have a lot to play with. I don't know. And I don't necessarily agree with that choice. Maybe he could have done more.
It's just it's such a cool moment when he shatters her helmet and you just see the eye.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, there's a person in there. There's a real monster in there. Yeah. It's a cool moment, a cool visual, but it feels so anticlimactic and unearned at that point.
Yeah.
That I just, you know, there's nothing I could do about it now. And look, I still love Force Awakens. It just was like a... Oh, I guess maybe it was my fault, but I felt a little bait and switch.
But more than that, and that's maybe what I was trying to say is I think there are some examples where our expectations are the problem.
Yeah.
And I think Snoke's a great example of that. At fault, meaning like, I get it. I was there too, but just we're so locked into he's this.
Right.
But Phasma, how could you not? Especially with the marketing.
She was everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Every toy set, everything. So you're naturally going to think, you know, because Snoke and Force Awakens was less marketed.
Right.
So you can't help but go into Force Awakens. It's almost, that's what I get to, it's almost not a Last Jedi problem, though Ryan could have done anything. So I get that complaint. But I go to Force Awakens. Much like with Ryan's, like, cool, I inherited Luke hiding on a hill. Disconnected from the Force, how do I deal with that?
Sure. No, Force Awakens, I think, when I think of like Phasma being let down, is the one specifically. You're right.
Yeah,
it's really, that's it? You just turn the shields off and you're going to regret this.
Yeah.
It's still one of the coolest costumes, though.
Oh, no, absolutely. Which is a great cape. So, but a perfect choice for this list. Perfect choice. This is a gone too soon character.
Yeah.
Twice. twice gone too soon. And I don't believe that. And even JJ, who's been very, I'll say complimentary, and definitely Chris Terrio about Last Jedi, at least the things in the story, like nothing in the story. Even though I was surprised or laughed at Snoke's death, there was a clip recently of him saying, that Phasma going was the one I was like, well, okay, interesting. Not what I would have done. So who knows? Maybe there's a secret Gwendolyn Christie cameo.
Please.
Phasma 3.0.
Please.
But I'm with
Star
you.
Wars gods. Yeah. Just let sleeping dogs lie.
So that is your number two, Captain Phasma. Great choice. My number two is where, so when I was putting together the list, I had my, oh, definitely. And oh, I got to include Zev. And then I was like, wait a minute, I want to flip the concept here a little bit of gone too soon and what it means. So I'm going to Rogue One, and there's a lot of choices in Rogue One. And I know a lot of you might be thinking, Admiral Raddus, I will always mention Admiral Raddus, one of my favorite characters, but I'm good with Raddus. I'm good with what I got. But a character that I'm fascinated with, that brings a lot to the story, has a lot to delve into from where he began, and we do know that. We do have a lot of that material, but I want more of the character. So that's why I'm saying gone too soon. Orson Callan Krennic, director Krennic, Ben Mendelsohn, Rogue One. He's all over that movie. And his death, going back to some of your points, his death is perfect. I don't want him to live and survive to the events of New Hope and everything. I just want more. I don't need more. I don't think there needs to be more. Catalyst by James Luceno, you get a lot. And he is such a fascinating character. I just remember reading that book and picturing him slightly more like Hans Landa from Intolerable Bastards, going around interrogating people, manipulating people. Just his presence was something that would scare you versus he actually did. Having the Death Troopers around him. And then that book leads you right into the start of Rogue One. I love that cold open. That's some of the best acting in Star Wars, actually, I think, is that cold open. Everyone on board, including Lyra Urso, Galen Urso, but just Ben Mendelsohn just like, everything he's saying in that. Farmer, I didn't. Oh, look at you! And oh, what's a miracle? She's back. Everything about that character in that moment, and I think it's got some great stuff. And I know there's different versions and Gareth Edwards, Tony Gilroy. There's a lot there with Rogue One. All that to say, I got so much Krennic. I love it. But the story of a middle management man just wants to rise, get credit for his work. His boss takes credit, sweeps him under the rug, and it's all done for the Empire. And I love how tied into Game of Thrones. Everyone knows I'm a Stannis Baratheon fan if you listen to me. Part of the reason I love the character of Stannis Baratheon is it's a lesson in your obsession destroying you. And Krennic doesn't necessarily start out in a completely evil place, I would say, in Catalyst, where he begins as a prized engineering architecture kind of student who just wants to be three rows closer to the Emperor or to Palpatine at a conference. You know, like, I'm here. I want to be there. And his aspirations are what's going to kill him. And so that final moment, it's perfect. But I think there's some room to learn more about the story, more about the Empire through this middle management's man's rise to power.
I love the Inglourious Bastards. Yeah. It's like that and Aaron Burr kind of like combined into a Star Wars Aaron character. Burr.
Yeah.
I've had my ups and downs with Rogue One since the day it came out.
Yeah. I remember that conversation in the screen junkie's kitchen.
Yeah. Where I just grabbed you and I was just like, what happened? You're like, I don't know what happened to you. Depending on my mood, I'm either kinder or meaner to that movie. But one thing that I've always said was just pitch perfect was Krennic.
Yeah.
I think Krennic is a great character. And I love that everyone in Star Wars who's a villain, rightfully so, because these are supposed to be melodramas to a certain extent, are very mustache twirly.
Yeah,
they want to rule the galaxy. They want to rule what's outside of the galaxy.
Yeah.
They want to rule time and space and death and everything.
Yeah.
And Krennic just wants to be the best regional manager.
Like, the assistant to the regional manager.
He is. It's that Dwight Schrute complex that you're like, man, if you weren't such an a-hole, I would almost kind of be rooting for you, you know, like you almost feel bad for him, but not quite. But yeah, the performance is spot on. Yeah. I think Ben Mendelsohn is one of the most underrated working actors.
Yeah.
Just right now.
He's great.
In general. But
yeah.
Oh, look, I look around my room at all the Star Wars toys. I have four Rogue One toys out of the millions.
Yeah.
And one of them is Krennic.
One of them is Krennic. I'm staring at that beautiful white cape right now. You're so right. It's like he's like, okay, you're going to twirl your mustache and try to rule the galaxy. I'd like to be the guy that gives you the project and weapon to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all I want.
it's honestly in a way the most real villain in Star Wars because we're all just looking for acceptance and recognition.
Yeah.
Which is a much more personal kind of stake. And that's why Krennic's just like, damn, he just wanted that gold star attaboy.
Yeah.
That's all he wanted.
He did. And, will we get more of him? Is there room for the character in the Cassian Andor series that's still as right now slated to come out? I haven't heard much more about it. I think there could be, but I don't necessarily think that Cassian series needs to just be a Rogue One reunion show. But there's something there about it. So that's what's number two on my list. So before we get to number ones, maybe a couple honorable mentions, we're going to take a quick break here on Star Wars Ranked. We'll be right back with Billy Patterson right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, welcome back to Star Wars Ranked here on the Force Center podcast feed. We're talking Gone Too Soon with Billy Biz. He's got some hot takes, and we like them all here. Billy, we've been working our way through this Gone Too Soon list. Do you have any honorable mentions on your heart right now?
I do. I had four. One of them silly. One of them is just Yaddle. They threw her in there in episode one. It was like, hello there. What is this? And then never to be seen mentioned again.
Now, again, we're recording this before the end of Mandalorian, Rise of Skywalker. Maybe she shows up in Rise of Skywalker as a Force ghost. If I accidentally predicted that weeks before we saw the movie, or actually right now about a week and a half before we see the movie, I'm going to go back to this and play some lottery numbers.
Yaddle's a great choice. But true story, the first time I saw Yaddle was a couple months before the Phantom Menace came out. It was some like crazy article or something, and I thought that was young Yoda and he had a mullet. I was like, oh, they're going really young, like 30-year-old Yoda. So Yaddle definitely gone too soon. The other Jedi Council member that I loved, and he had a couple cool moments, and then he just like a sack of potatoes just goes down. Kit Fisto, man.
Kit.
And all those Jedi that Palpatine takes out, it doesn't translate in the movie, but in the novel he does such a great, that novel is just priceless. If you haven't read the Revenge of the Sith novel,
it's great.
But he does a great job of being like, Palpatine moves so fast that they don't even know that they're like,
dead. Yeah.
In the movie, it's just like, well, what are you doing, man?
What are you doing? Movie doesn't play too well.
But Kit Fisto, I just love that goofy ass smile that he has in Attack of the Clones. So he's just like,
controversial. But
the one that I didn't actually put on my list, but I said in the initial pitch was Biggs. I think
that's kind of the one that inspired the list in a way.
Yeah, it was Biggs, just because I think without like, look, we have the knowledge of what Biggs is in that scene, and we all know the history. But to anyone who just walked into this cold, especially the whatever version we're on of Star Wars, that putting that little scene back of him reuniting with Biggs, you're just like, does he know this guy? Like, it's a little confusing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't quite hit. So I would just love more Biggs, but again, like.
Yeah,
I get it.
You get it.
And then the one that I actually was my number one, and I ended up taking it off the list completely on the principle of, but it had to happen, was my all-time favorite. Now, I can say this definitively, my all-time favorite Star Wars character, Qui-Gon Jinn.
That's great.
Because I love Qui-Gon. I was like, I need so much more Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon is everything that the Jedi should have been. And then I was like, but none of this would... of this would make sense. It's like if you threw a cell phone at the first 5 minutes into Home Alone. It's like, well, then you don't have a story. It's over.
Yeah.
So like, as much as I love Qui-Gon Jinn, he had to go.
Yeah. That's great. Those are great choices. Yeah. Biggs is inspires the list. That's why initially when you sent that, I was like, oh, that's where we're going to go. Then it went to other areas. As far as me, some other ones, I mentioned Admiral Raddus. I love Raddus and I think it's perfect, but I always want a little bit more of Raddus. I know some people might argue Ackbar in The Last Jedi, but I think I got my fill of Ackbar over, you know, 30 plus years of watching.
You got peak Ackbar in Jedi, so.
That's why I don't include him there. You know, you can go to some funny ones. Coleman Trebor in Attack of the Clones, this close to ending the battle by killing Dooku, and he doesn't do that there. You know, there's little ones along the way. But, yeah, Biggs is on my list, too. I love to get a little bit more in Rebels. You start picking up a little bit more of the character in new canon. I love, like, our friend of the show, Alex Damon, so obsessed with Biggs. And by that token, I think Jack Porkins. Give me more Porkins.
Oh, Porkins.
And not them on vacation in that weird comic story.
I love that story.
It's a wild one. So that's it. So that's those are some honorable mentions here. We're going to get on to my number one so the guests can close out the show. My number one, this is the first I put down the list and in this spot, and I'm not going to move her off. I'm going to stand by this. It is, of course, some of you might be able to guess it, gone too soon. Talison Lyntra, oh, The Last Jedi. Our A-Wing was a Blue Squadron leader there. I love Tally Lyntra, and I have to be honest, you know, it starts with just a little crush on Tally Lyntra.
That's fair.
Hermione Corfield plays her, and, you know, I think she does, Joseph Scrimshaw said it so well, she teaches a class on acting in space cockpits. She's so good, the smirk of Tally Lyntra. I've written about it. There's just something right away. So immediately for me, immediately I'm like, oh, hello, who's this cute little A-Wing pilot? And it immediately goes beyond that because there's so much charisma and likability in her performance and that smirk right before her death, everything about it. But just, you know, her line, you know, the couple lines she has, I just really like this character. And again, serves some sort of purpose, but it was a shocking purpose. And this is me now going in the story of her gone. I'm like, man, how valuable would she be if they were on Crait?
Yeah.
And she could fight and she could lead. How valuable would she be now in Rise of Skywalker if she was there? And I love it. And as a kid, I would play that game a lot. As a kid of it, and there's some Star Wars what if, something that you and me might be talking about here in Star Wars Ranked at another time. But I love those what if games. But as a kid, I would play that, man, what if so and so had survived? What if in Young Guns, Dirty Steve had survived? How would they have won the fight in a different way? Yes, I think about Young Guns and Young Guns 2 a lot. So Tally really inspires that. And it's totally gone too soon. And then you read a little bit more of her story. You can go to Wikipedia, and if you want to pull it up, she's got a little bit of a Luke Skywalker vibe without the Force, in the sense of she was kind of this farm girl with her dad, and her dad taught her to fly, used to crop dust with an old A-Wing. And when the call came, when oppression hit the galaxy again in the form of the First Order, she left her comfort zone, she left what she was doing, and she went to fight. And... you know, so the farm boy beginnings are similar to Luke. And I think that's, again, what a lot of The Last Jedi was doing. So that's in story. Then out of story, just what a powerful moment for me, this is my journey, where, again, I'm on board with this character. She's got a Lego set, right? even though I think the cowards just say A-wing pilot. They don't see Tally Lentra. She's got there's an A-wing toy that, again, you know, A-wing pilot. Name her Tally. Come on. And I just naturally had the, like, cool, this is a side character. It's a rebel pilot. It's a new rebel pilot for a new era. And then when she dies and you see her blow up, I remember just kind of like, whoa, that's what we're doing. This is not going well.
Yeah.
And I know it's the second chapter of a trilogy, and we're used to Empire being a little darker and everything, but like I in theater, and I think maybe that's why I connected this character. I have an affinity for this character beyond just a silly little space boy crush of just like, whoa, she's one of our, she's gone. Did that. Ryan did that. And hero is redefined a lot in this movie over and over. And so I don't know. So Tally Lentra, gone too soon.
Yeah, it's a tough kind of reminder of the realities of this war that is going on. There's definitely going to be collateral damage.
Yeah,
but it does speak to kind of like the power of Star Wars. These little characters that we kind of latch on to for, maybe they remind us of pieces of ourselves, or maybe it's just kind of like that terror of knowing like it could come at any minute. Doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
You know, just something that you think about all the time. You know.
Yeah. Tally. I love playing her in Battlefront 2. I do a lot of the flying missions as much anymore when I play.
I'm so bad at the flying.
It's
very difficult.
Some days I'm like, I'm really good. Other days I'm like, this is really bad. But Tally's great playing with that A-Wing. So that's my number one, Tally Lentra, gone too soon, which means, Billy, we are up to your number one.
I think this might be the most obvious or the safest answer, but sometimes Occam's razor, the simplest choice is the right one.
That's it.
Boba Fett, man.
Boba Fett.
It is Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Look, I've heard the story or the quote of George Lucas saying like, hey man, if we knew that he was this popular, we wouldn't have had him go out like a punk. I disagree, sir. Let's call a spade a spade. George Lucas pretty much directed Return of the Jedi. Nothing happened in that movie that he wasn't like, all right. There are many moments in Jabba's palace where we take time to cut away to Boba. And he's got his gun up. And then when he gets the little nod of respect, we take screen time. He knew Boba Fett was cool. Boba Fett was awesome. And Boba Fett goes out in the dumbest Star Wars death that I've been waiting for them to retcon it. And again, Mandalorian, who knows? Maybe
it's so funny because at the time of the
who knows?
Who knows?
I have no idea. But as of in the year of our Lord 2019 on December the 8th, I am saying that Boba Fett was a character that I was never like the biggest Boba Fett fan. I think a costume is cool, but it's not enough for a character.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw Jango Fett, I actually wasn't the biggest fan of Jango Fett either.
Right, right.
But then I started to think like, wow, there's such a difference between the way that Jango carries himself and the way that Jango operates versus Boba Fett. And I think of that one image of him kind of holding his dad's helmet.
I think,
okay, there is a tortured guy in this stolen suit of armor. Right. Like the aspect of like stolen valor and kind of like vendetta. Like he's just mad at the world. Like the Jedi are gone.
Yeah.
So now all he has to be is just mad, period. Yeah. There's so much potential for story. Yeah. And it was just a sight gag.
Yeah,
and he's gone. And I think he could be resurrected.
Yeah.
I think, look, on a long enough timeline, he will be resurrected. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
But just that one is like, I put it in the Phasma category of like, well, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
I mean, there's a reason everyone, when thinking of Phasma, I did earlier.
Yeah.
I didn't want to step on your list, but yeah, that is exactly where a lot of people go. It's the same thing. Looks so cool. I mean, inspired everything. That character design, that toy, that look inspired the entire thing. Legends. I as everyone know, not a huge Legends fan, but also just don't know a lot about them. After I checked out after a while, there's a lot of Boba in that. Obviously, are you familiar enough with that?
I know that he like jetpacked his way out of there, which is also lame, but it's less lame than just like going out on a joke.
And there's the I'll call it urban legend because I don't have a ton of interviews and behind the scenes stuff. I've heard this before there was possibly an idea of in Return of the Jedi that Boba Fett would have been more the villain, more driving force in that story. I've heard that a lot, but I couldn't point to anything specific like I could with other things. So again, if that's out there and you want to share that with us, that's great. But yeah, without a doubt. As a kid, that is a moment I do love. As a kid, but that doesn't stick.
It's funny because I was in the rare group that got to see Star Wars in theaters, but also got to see all three within the span of like maybe a couple months.
That's true. Yeah.
So I did not find it amusing because he just seemed so like, ooh, this guy's bad in Empire Strikes Back. And then, you know, the next one is especially too, like they go back and watch Return of the Jedi. If you haven't seen in a while, like they take their time, out to make sure that, you know, that Boba's A there and B, like he's more credible than anyone else standing in there.
Absolutely. No, the head nod does that. And I'm not even, you know, not even going to the special edition, this version with the suave Boba Fett, you know, chin grab there.
I really like that.
I'm okay with it more than others. But even just going back to what we all originally saw, if you go, without a doubt, the head nod, which is what I consider myself at parties, just in the corner going, hello.
Right.
And you're right. It's that is a credible moment. That's like, that adds to his credibility of Bausch looking around and him kind of going, I say you're good.
Yeah, exactly. So to just pull the rug out from under him, it took a little bit of the fangs out of Boba Fett for me.
Got it down.
And so gone too soon. Again, even if he's retconned, they've done such a great job of making the Mandalorian the most badass, quote unquote, Boba Fett that.
Yeah.
Look, unless there's someday a Mandalorian versus Boba Fett, and this is like Batman, Joker, Lex Luthor, Superman, like these are the yin and the yang.
X sever.
You took the piss right out of Boba Fett. So gone too soon and in a McClunky fashion.
There we go. We're marking this time, December 8th, 2019. If something changes, we can come back to this moment. The story
and
of Boba
Fett. I will happily
no, you don't need to retract. You'd be like, that's why I put it there, because it works. We wanted more. That is a great list, Billy. I can't thank you enough for not only coming on but pitching this topic idea. I love talking Star Wars with Billy Patterson. I hope you guys love listening to us talk. Thank you for listening to the show, but also want to remind you that the show brought to you in part by fine folks at Audible. If you want to listen to an audiobook on us, go to audibletrial.com/forcecenter and go ahead and get the audiobook version of Revenge of the Sith. I'm assuming that's on there. Let's hope. If not, we need to get one recorded right away and put it on. Billy's right. A lot of good morsels in there. Billy works on a lot of cool shows. Billy Biz, tell him where to find all your hot takes.
At Billy A. Patterson, Hot Takes with Billy Biz, the podcast. You can go back now, listen to the archives, season 3.
Nice.
Coming real soon.
There you go. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. If you have your own Gone Too Soon list, follow us at Force Center Pod on Twitter. Use the hashtag Star Wars Rank. You can support us on Patreon as well, patreon.com/ForceCenter. We have merch available on TeePublic. So that is it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.